I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. I'm so excited for this one. We have actually been doing this for two times. We started off with leader and founder, C3 Global, Pastor Chris Pringle. And then we followed that up with Kathy Green, a senior pastor at C3 Ride, and Amanda Encliffe, who is C3 SYD. These women are sharing their heart around transition. And today I'm so excited because I have with me and with us Bernie Kelsey, who is with the C3 Church Global team, and Kelly Tebbett, who is the senior pastor at C3 Church Calgary West. Okay, there you go. So, spoiler alert, this is a podcast about transition. And I really, my goal for this was to bring together a variety of women who are actually either have gone through transition or currently going through transition or about to go through transition. And this is an important topic because, as everyone here knows, everyone goes through transition. And it can be quite stressful, and it can be exhilarating, and everything in between. As a senior pastor of a church, especially with a church planting movement like C3, where there's a huge amount of pioneering, really finding our feet with transition, given that this is really the first and second generation of transition people, is tricky and exciting. And we think that there's so much that we can all learn from each other because everyone is going to go through a transition. So whether you're a young leader and you want to learn from some of the pros, or you're looking at transition yourself, or maybe you're 10 years away and you want to start preparing, we're really hoping that this podcast gives you some great insights and tools on how women in this case are doing it. So I want to start off with my dear friend, Bernie Kelsey, who I love and truly admire in so many ways. Bernie, you have been obviously through a variety of transitions over the years. And I really wanted to go back to one of the biggest ones when you left Sydney and the safety of your church family and transitioned to go to the United States and Long Island in particular. That was before the internet. That was before we were all connected. So going that far away was a really, it was more of a sacrifice, I would probably venture, than some of the sacrifices that we're making today. And I've heard some of your story whenever I've been blessed to attend Express. But I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing some of that here with us today. So what that was like for you then, and what were some of the lessons that you learned in that transition, and just maybe help us understand how we can do ours even better. So over to you, Bernie.
Thanks, Val. Oh, look, this is such an honor and a privilege to be on this podcast with you, Val, and also with Kelly. So thanks for having me today. That was actually a really big transition, you know, and I don't think that we would have multiple transitions like that in a lifetime. I mean, we moved from Sydney to New York. That's 35 years ago, actually. Wow. I was 29 years old, and we had three small children, 7, 5, and 2. And like you said, Val, there was no internet. The phone was a phone attached to a wall. Phone calls back to Sydney were $7.45 a minute, you know, and we're church planters and, you know, so we kind of, you know, found the, obviously the arrival challenging, but the going, the leaving, the heading out was, it's kind of exciting. We were full of vision and we were excited to put our hand to the plow in this church planting situation. And I think we were excited because we didn't know anything. So we didn't know that we shouldn't be so excited. We just thought, wow, this is great. We're answering the call and heading out on this great mission for God, you know, and we felt right about it. The call was really confirmed through our leaders, Pastor Phil and Chris, and we were the second church plant to go out from Oxford Falls. There was one the previous year to London, and we were the second one. So there was a lot of intel that, you know, we didn't have going. We were green. We didn't know. And so the sadness in leaving friends and family and leaving a full-time job and, you know, our kids were part of the kids ministry and, you know, everything was set and settled, you know, and suddenly we're out in this pioneer state with zero, nothing. We didn't know anybody. And so everything was new. And so I think that's the challenge, but also the excitement, you know, of venturing forth into something new. So we learned a lot. You know, that out of those learnings is really what we find ourselves doing today in terms of training church planters. And, you know, God takes all of that experience and hopefully wraps it around us with some wisdom and you're able to sort of pass it on to others. So, yeah, it's
totally
a lot to learn and we're still learning.
I bet. So Bernie, tell us, just give us a, you know, take a few minutes just to unpack. You've arrived in New York. You don't have a church. You've told us a story that you had some interesting neighbors that over the time turned out to be awesome neighbors. So what would you give a young church planter who's going to launch out in a new city altogether and they don't really know a lot of people? Like what advice would you give them to stay strong and not to lose heart in a situation like that?
Well, there's so much coming against you. And, you know, I think you have to go out together, you know, husband, wife, on the same page, you know, have that kind of strength of togetherness. I don't think you want to be, you know, this is not about Mark being called and I'm just going along for the ride. I think we both equally felt called. So I think that's important. We were in total agreement about it. I think, you know, when the challenges come, I think you've got to remember not to turn the gun on each other and keep fighting the forces out there, you know, together. I've seen that really take church planters out where the pressure becomes so great that it becomes a marriage battle or, you know, a challenge in the family that can really do them in. So I think, you know, just keep your heads strong and together and on the same page as much as possible and keep talking, you know, having conversations. I mean, Mark and I really, you know, I think for us in any kind of change or, and there's change all the time in life, you know, I would say keep talking and keep gathering people around your life who are good confidants and people who can get alongside of you and encourage you because you need loads of encouragement. I think when we faced those battles, we were quite isolated. And we didn't, like we said before, we didn't have the phone calls where we could just, you know, or people just to drop by. One of the things we realized once we arrived, and it's a silly little thing, but it was kind of like I was down the shops one day and I was like walking along and I was like, actually, I'm never going to bump into anybody that knows me ever.
Wow.
It was a crazy feeling. It was like, I don't know anybody. So I think in the church planning space, because it's new, you got to get ready to get making relationships and friendships. And one of the things that helped us was we had to get jobs. And so it put us right amongst other people and connections, and then of course the kids in school, and so all the school and sport activities, we just got amongst it and started to make friends in the new space.
Wow, that's good wisdom, because the transition from going from a church family out on your own, especially if you're going across country or even, you know, between continents like you were, requires, right? That transition requires that you are deeply rooted in your relationship to Christ, and that your relationship to each other is as strong as it can be. And let's face it, it's these times where your relationships are tested, because, you know, it's, and that is, you know, that's actually, I'd like to transition over to Kelly, because Kelly, you were running church, doing your thing. And then you were given the role, you and your husband, Lauren, of running the Canadian region. And that's, you know, it's a big ask to, you know, take on that spiritual burden and spiritual weight. And often, like, I don't know about you, but like, even with, you know, not even, and with me, you know, it takes you outside of your comfort zone, right? And so that's a different type. That's another type of transition. So how did you sort of navigate that? What do you do when you know you're being thrust out of your comfort zone to ground yourself? I'd love to hear about that.
Oh, definitely thrust out of my comfort zone. Being an introvert, almost to the extreme, it was kind of just this really, wow, really, you want us? But I realized, too, like Bernie said, that Lauren and I were a team coming into this. But becoming Canadian overseers, first of all, for the longest time, a lot of our guys, we were friends. We were peers, all the Canadian pastors. And then when we were appointed as overseers, boy, that relationship changed. And we had to build trust with these guys again. And we had to, I don't think we had to show who we are, but we had to really build relational equity. And I think for the first 2 years, actually that was the greatest thing, was just building relationship with all the guys. And then not saying, will you trust us? But they just trusted us. But it started with relationships. So that's how we started. And again, being the overseer just really pushed me out of my comfort zone. But at the same time, it probably was the best thing that I could have ever been asked to do. So it's good.
I just wrote something about this recently because, you know, adversity is actually what makes us, I think. And it is so uncomfortable. And, you know, being pushed out of your comfort zone isn't necessarily an adverse scenario. But, you know, we all have rough edges, whether we like it or not, even as old as I'm getting. And so being pushed out of my comfort zone helps me to grow, to learn new things that I might not otherwise learn. And it also rubs off some of those rough edges that, you know, are there. So tell us, like, share a little bit about, if you could, even just one example of like how being thrust out of that comfort zone took you to a new, better place, or a place where you felt stronger and you may never have even pushed into that had you not been sort of either asked to go there or pushed into that situation. Because often transition happens to us, right? We don't necessarily put our hands up for it. It kind of happens to us. So do you have like maybe one key thought about that, or just an example of your own life?
Well, all I can say is during this time to, you know, again, when the pressure comes on anything, what comes out, you have to deal with. So I realized, you know, the insecurities surfaced. There was just a whole bunch of, you know, self-doubt and all, like, just a whole bunch of self stuff that surfaced. And instead of continuing to hide that, I had to deal with it. And so I just always tell people, if the Lord surfaces something, he wants to deal with it. And so the insecurities just made me more aware of who I am and who I'm not. And I really just love discovering who the Lord's created me to be and not trying to be any false person, but this is who I am, and being very secure in just being that. And if people like me, they like me. And if they don't, they don't. But I'm not going to pretend, because I don't want to be false. I just want to become who I am. So it was good, because it did. It surfaced a lot of stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. I like that. I like that. That if something is, to your point, like either you're being asked to do something different or something's surfacing because of it, that's the Lord's, you know, prompting, and it's an opportunity, right? And again, like if you lean into him, and yeah, I love that. That spoke to me right now, big time.
Well, the thing is, the Lord wants to use all of us. You know, he's living in us, and he wants an expression. And each of us have a very different expression. And the world needs to just see the Lord through each of us individually. So
that's great. I think that's a message for somebody out there right now. That's awesome. Okay, let's talk about men and women. Transition, you know, people handle transition differently, and men and women handle it differently. And I'm not asking you to out your husbands or share any private, you know, like moments particularly. But, you know, I've talked to a lot of women that are going through some transitions, and we've talked about our husbands and like how they're handling it. And it's just been really fascinating to me, the different approaches that we might take as in a, you know, men, women. And women seem to be more communicative. They're planners. Like they're like, let's get ready. They're more probably maybe more willing to bring others into the mix in order to think about that pathway forward. Whereas men tend to, my experience with Simon is he's quiet, he's thoughtful, he takes time to really think it through before he shares it with me. I often hear about really big things after he's made his decision. It's really awesome. So I'm wondering, like, let's start with you, Bernie. Like, what are you, where have you noticed a difference? Like, how are you? And again, don't get too personal, please. But so what do you think? Like, share some thoughts you're having or you've had over the years of transition with your husband.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're different, obviously. And I think you've nailed some of those differences from a male-female point of view. But then individually in your own relationships is so unique, you know. And I think perspective is really key in our marriages. I totally believe we're meant to help each other. And I think that it's not a competition or it's comparison or anything in that space. I think the way we've journeyed is, and you do journey and you do learn through through time and situations and challenges that come at you. But we would talk a lot, and I would definitely find myself in the details of the situation. And Mark has always anchored us as a family and in our marriage in the bigger picture. And he sits really, he sits so well in that space. He's got such a strategic kind of gifting and he's got this long vision thing. You know, he even had a word way, way back in the early 80s, you know, that, you know, the Lord was making him a person that could see into the distance and the future. And meanwhile, I'm back here in the details going, how are we going to do that? How are we going to pay for that? Where are the kids going to be? So I think you learn to love what each brings to the situation. I've learned that over the time that, you know, we just let each other be who we are in that and take on that perspective, and it makes a full picture. You know, it's it complements the whole being together.
Yeah.
It is a big topic, isn't it? The male female response to everything. But I think we are meant to help each other and, you know, to relax into seeing who that person is and how they're viewing the situation, because there is a gift in that to us, you know. Mark is always kind of, for me, it's always lifting me up out of the minutiae. And, yeah, you know, I love that, you know, because in the early days, I would say with any change, and there was so much change, I'd say to Mark, what's going to happen to us? You know,
yes.
Here we go again. It's another change. And he would always carry that. It's going to be fine. You know, it's, you know, God's got a plan here. He's working it out. And but then he would also turn and be so grateful for the little detail that I raised that kind of saved us further down the track because we'd addressed it. So, yeah, I think just working it through together.
That's good. I love that. I'm going to remind Simon of that. seriously. Kelly, do you have any thoughts to add here?
Well, I'm the same as Bernie. I think Lauren's the same as Mark, and I know that I'm more of a detailed person. Lauren's always had the bigger vision, and the thing is, he's learned to know that he needs me. Because, you know, he knows that there's so many details to accomplish it. So we just talk a lot, and he'll dream, and I'll just say, okay. And he doesn't see me as a negative anymore. But, you know, when you're first married, it's kind of like, oh, you're so negative. It's not. I'm so detailed. And I see the pattern.
Yeah.
And so now we talk about it and we'll laugh and we just know that each other's strengths is what's why we're here now.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's funny because Simon did the same thing when we first got married. He was like, oh, you're kind of negative. And you know, and I was like, no, I'm thinking about all the details. So I do think that's like the male-female scenario.
Hey, everyone. I believe in the local church. Ever since we started our church way back in 1980, we've been planting churches all around the world, in major cities, villages, towns. And we have seen ourselves plant churches now in over 60 nations in the earth. Last year, we planned to plant 20 churches, and we ended up planting 45. This year, we're going to plant another 42 churches. I'd like to invite you to become a partner with us in this grand plan that God has called us to, planting His magnificent church all around the world. It's not an inexpensive exercise to plant churches. It costs a lot to support pastors when they're just starting out, and their families and their structures, their circumstances, renting houses, needing a car. And in some of these places, they're very poor. And we want to help them rise up and plant great churches in their nations. You can help us by jumping over to our website, C3 Church Global, and there you will find a giving section. And you can give towards helping us plant churches all around the world. I'm praying for you that as you give, the blessing of God will rest upon your life in abundance. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
Simon and I are looking at this transition. You know, it was important for me, for us to find actually an outside person to talk to so that it wasn't just us looking at each other, or navel gazing, or trying to figure out stuff, that we just needed an outside perspective just to encourage both of us. I mean, it's a big transition for Simon because I still have my job and this and that, the other thing. So I was, and he's a very productive personality and loves working. He loves being a part of something. So, you know, so I just wanted to encourage him to start thinking early about what those next steps could look like. And I think that he would say that's really helped him a lot. And really though, in the end, we're spending most of our time in prayer because, you know, God knows what he wants to do
And as long as we're obedient and show up, he'll use you. So to me, that's, you know, that's a big thing for us. But I do want to just talk about transition as a place for grief, because, you know, often when we transition, we do have to say goodbye to something. And there are things that have to die as we move on to the next thing. And so I don't want to throw you guys a curveball, but I'd love for you both to, if you could, just share just even one experience where, you know, there was a death of something as you were transitioning and you had to, you know, grieve, but what kind of got you through that? And I can relate, Bernie, to what you were saying about what's next, because since Simon and I got married, we've been on a huge amount of transitions. And so every time we've gone through one, I've been thankful for the good stuff, but there's been a little bit of like, I feel a little sad. So would you mind sharing, you know, Bernie, do you have like a moment where you had to, you know, deal with a grief as a transition, and then how that, you know, shifted for you, or how you got through it, and what you did even to get through it?
So I'm just trying to think of an actual moment. We were farewelled from C3SYD after 40 years of being on staff. So it's very fresh. And thank you. I mean, it was a beautiful honouring moment. The team were beautiful, and Pastor Al and Jessen, who are the new lead pastors here at C3SYD, have just done a beautiful honouring journey with us.
Great.
And I think that's actually an important point about transition, is that we need to press pause and honor the moment, and honor the change is the turning of the page, and it has to be acknowledged. I think that the deeper sadness can come sometimes when we just railroad through these moments in our life which are important, and we don't do a good journey with it. And I think that can cause ongoing and difficult kind of grief to get over. So my encouragement would be to, you know, to personally take the moment to honor the season that has just passed. And, you know, it's like raising family, raising children, you know, you're going through all these stages of growth and development. And, you know, that first child, when they go to school and you're standing watching the bus go, and you just, you know, they're happy, but you're crying. So it's this crossover moments that all of us are experiencing, you know, big and small. But I think that Sunday afternoon that's just passed, I did have just a quiet moment in myself, and I realized, wow, 40 years, you know, I was grateful that we have a 40-year story to tell, which is wonderful, that by God's grace he's kept us on the path, on the track together, you know, and we've been able to, you know, to share that story of, you know, 40 years on staff for Mark. I wasn't on staff for that long. And then for the kinds of experiences that we've had through that, to just take time to sort of thank God for that. And then I did have a little bit of a cry, you know, it was like, oh, I'm not going to be in this meeting or that meeting, and I'm not going to know this or that or the other. And that's okay too. You know, there's a lot of letting go. And I think, you know, I think it's Henry Wordsworth said that the art of the beginning is great, but even greater is the art of the ending. And I think if we don't do transitions, not perfectly, but at least the best we can, and if we don't acknowledge the ending of something, then I think we're crippling ourselves in terms of moving into the new season. So, yeah, it's a whole lot of prayer, processing, conversation, letting go, you know, those spiritual practices that I think keep us fully anchored, you know.
Oh, amen. I love that.
So you can move forward.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that too, because like you said, that just happened.
Yeah.
Kelly, did you have anything to share around that?
we're in transition right now. So for us, again, it's 2 years now that we've lost our house to a fire. Yeah. And that was such an immediate change that nobody is ever prepared for. One day you have a house and the next day you don't have a house and you don't have all the memories in the house, like they're just gone. So for the last 2 years, actually, we've been in a physical process of grieving and transitioning through that, because we're still not in our house. We're still in a rental. Like when a change comes, you have to grieve it, and you have to go through the emotions.
Yeah.
And you can't just put it aside, and you can't just think that it will just dissipate. For us, it was such, like, it's almost like PTSD. And so I can understand the shock and trauma of I can empathize with people right now that go through that, because it becomes a physical thing as well as a mental thing, as well as a spiritual thing, because, boy, have I questioned the Lord a lot, you know, in this process. Oof. And still ask the questions, why, where were you? And so my days go kind of up and down. But, you know, the first place I ran to and still run to is the church. And I can hardly wait to go on a Sunday morning and worship. And when we sang a song just this last week, and, you know, when I go through the fire, and I think that just becomes so deep, because until you've gone through a fire, like, you know, it's just kind of words. So we've both just allowed the Lord just to, you know, bring healing through people, through counseling, through books, and all that. And I just think it's not wrong to seek what you need for in the times and let the transition just go. Don't let somebody say, oh, well, we should be through it. You know, transitions take as long as the Lord wants to heal you. And so we've come through a lot of change in the last couple of years, but the Lord's just doing such a beautiful work that we're really, really thankful for. You know, we're not thankful for the event, but we're thankful for the feeling and the people and everyone that's coming around us.
That's awesome.
It's been good.
That's awesome. We've obviously been, you know, we've been along the journey, not next to you, but in your world through this. And it's just, I know that for people, especially those who've been close to you, who I've spoken with, they just, wow, you know, just the fact that you've weathered this incredible storm, not lost your way. You know, let's not forget that we were also in the midst of COVID and all of that craziness. So, so we have a lot of admiration for you, and a lot of admiration for you, Bernie, for also transitioning out of such a significant role over these years. And so often, the roles that we have, it's not hard for it to become our identity. It's entirely normal. You know, we all talk about that, like, don't let that be your identity. It's like, all right. But, you know, reality check, like, I've been working in this kind of job now for, 30 plus years. And, you know, it's part of my identity, it feels like, some days. But and so that is a death unto itself, you know? So,
I think on that point, Val, like, thank you. It's true, because it is who you are in that season. But in the early days when we were first in the ministry, the Lord taught us a really big lesson in that space, so that the lesson was to not get tethered to our titles or restricted by our roles. And I think for me, that happened. It's so funny. It's like back in 1981, we were the first, Mark was the first youth leader in the church. You know, we found the church in 1970. 1980, and then we became the youth leaders, and there were about seven kids in the youth group, and we grew that to about 100. And then Mark came back from a prayer walk one morning and said to me, "The Lord's told me to give up the youth." And I said, "What? Why would he do that? And what will we be?" You know, you know, because you get to do the youth announcements on Sunday night, you know. And you know, this is your big identity in life. And I mean, you get what I'm talking about. It's like you start to make an attachment to that. And we followed through in just simple obedience to that. And we found ourselves not actually doing anything. And that's where the message, you know, to develop a good shelf image, because you felt like your life had been popped onto the shelf. Was really, that's that interior work, I think. You know, we have the outside circumstances, difficulties, fires, floods, sickness, illness, change of job, loss of somebody. That's the external thing. But then it's how it impacts the interior world in our life. To Kelly's point, you know, what God does on the inside of us and how he is transforming us. And that was a little moment of actually, it was a little lesson, but it's actually, we've lived that lesson through every season. And every time our role changes or, you know, we're called something else, we just go, "Oh, okay. That's good. It won't last for forever, but anyway, we'll do the best we can with it while we've got it." So
that's great. You're soldiers in God's God's army, just marching with everyone, shoulder to shoulder. Amen. I've learned a lot. I've learned over the years from watching you and watching others and getting to know Kelly and Lauren, who have been such encouragers to us, to both Simon and myself. So we need each other.
That's a fact. Yeah.
We sure do. So one last question before we end our time together. You know, there's that scripture that says, you know, your young men and women will prophesy and your old men and ladies will dream dreams. And, you know, we're not young. We're vital, no doubt. But I do know that this was precipitated by a blog that I wrote, and I looked at every decade, starting in my 20s, and what I expected in my 20s and what didn't happen, and then where it left me in my 30s and there and then on. And so at 61, the runway's shorter. And I think that was maybe one of the biggest realizations for me, that that age had crept up on me, was that I don't have that much time to do certain things, or that I'm not looking at a fresh new start versus the way I would have felt in my 30s or my 40s or my 50s. And it was really sobering. Not bad, but sobering. And, but it did make me start thinking. And, and I started thinking about that scripture and what does it mean to dream? And I'm just curious, you know, Kelly, what does that mean for you? And I'd love to obviously hear, Bernie, what it means to you. What does it mean to go from prophesying into dreaming, even if it's just, you know, an analogy? What do you think?
Well, dreaming is just a slower version of vision. And the thing is, with what, if you quit dreaming, you're going to die. Like, I think for us, we keep dreaming of the future, and we dream of the future and do things as if we have, like sowing the seeds, because we're doing it for generations to come. Even for Lauren and I, like, we're planting seeds now. We're dreaming of our future. We're actually, Lauren and I are planting a little orchard back in Saskatchewan, but we're planting trees, and we're going to do things that probably trees will never sit under, but we're not going to quit moving forward and dreaming, because you go towards, you know, your most positive or negative thought. So I think you have to keep moving forward towards positive thoughts. They're just like seeds, and It will be an end, but if you just look at it as a continuation to the next generation, I just think, you have to
beautiful.
Dream and plant and sow all the time.
I love that. And you're literally doing that with your orchard. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I feel like going and planting an orchard.
I know, I'm inspired. But that's also what you did. Didn't when Oxford Falls, when Pastor Phil and Chris exited stage right?
Yeah.
Didn't you, there's trees that were planted early days and then everybody got a chance to plant a new tree.
Yeah.
So it's a theme here. So Bernie, tell us, like, what does dreaming mean for you right now, for your future?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's the taking of everything that you've experienced thus far. And somehow that dreaming thing is just letting, I think right now for us, we're imagining, you know, just sitting in a little pocket of imagining what does our life look like beyond this particular role or this particular season. And I so agree, Kelly, you know, our whole wiring is just to give it away, to see others, to see that younger generation. I think it's about moving into a mothering and a fathering kind of spirit, to be calling, you know, the younger generation on to not like, oh, you'll be great guys or whatever, but actually more in the realm of like really listening to them and hearing what they've got to say, because they've got a lot to say, and hearing what they're seeing, because I think that is prophetic for the generation. And I hope that we could sit in that space and be pulling that goodness out of the next generation and being like a cheerleader, I guess, cheering them on into that space, because that's the future. And we're not obsolete, or, you know, we're saying, oh, yeah, we're old, and, you know, that's true. I want to do that whole aging thing well. You know, I want to go there gracefully, as they say, as much as possible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think just to be in a space of fruit bearing for all the rest of our days. So, yeah, we'll keep planting seeds, like Kelly said, and pouring water on that seed and soil to see what comes forth. But yeah, it's not over, you know, we're not over, and there's much to do, you know, and just one conversation with one person can just, hopefully the podcast and what you're doing, Val, it'll just really, you know, be helpful and encouraging.
Yeah, come on. That's been the purpose of doing this series, to encourage people who are going through transition. Again, whether you're a young person and you're just starting out, and everyone goes through transitions all through your life, or you're someone that's, you know, planning. I just spoke with Lisby Warren the other day, and she's looking at everyone else and starting to think strategically and creatively about their future. And so, yeah, be a good example, be a light. And I love what you both said there, planting that orchard, but also, and also Bernie, the idea too of this new stage of being a sage for the younger gen, to help them and give them encouragement and your life as a roadmap. So thank you both. You are awesome women. I'm blessed to have you in my life. And I'm believing that this is going to help a lot of people. So, thank you.
Thank you, Val. Thanks, Kelly.
Bye.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.